Welcome to The Lay Disciple, a ministry of Truth Seekers Fellowship. We're in lesson number 53 today in the study about the Messiah. As you can see, Tom Murray has been doing an exhaustive study concerning the Messiah. And last time we learned how the Messiah was born, died, and how the Romans destroyed Jerusalem and the temple. Today we'll continue by looking at the 70th seven and how it will affect you. Keep listening.
Well, welcome back. I began to introduce you to the 70th seven, or the last of the seven seven, or the last seven, the 70th seven, or the 7 years of the tribulation. And when this 70th seven is fulfilled, then all six purposes for the 77s will have found their fulfillment. Now, I reminded you in our last broadcast that the main points in verse 27 is that the 70th seven is going to begin only with the signing of a 7-year covenant, or a treaty, if you will, between Israel and a major Gentile political leader. The pronoun he in verse 27 goes back to its nearest antecedent, which is in verse 26. And the nearest antecedent in verse 26 is not the Messiah, but the antecedent is the prince who is to come. Now, this prince has been a topic of all of Daniel's earlier prophecies in chapters 7 and 8. And this political leader is better known to Christians as the Antichrist. Many people believe that the tribulation period begins with the rapture of the church saints, but that is not what the scriptures teach. The rapture does occur before the 7 years of the tribulation, even though we are not told how soon before. It could be moments, it could be days, it could be months, it could even be years. No man knows the time of the rapture. But it will be before the day that Israel signs the 7-year covenant with the Antichrist. Now, this prince that Daniel has been talking about, we're told about him that in the middle of the 70th seven, or the 7 years of the tribulation, or you might say after 3.5 years of the covenant treaty, this Gentile leader is going to break his treaty with Israel, and he will stop the sacrificial system in the temple. Now, the implication here is that by this time, there will in fact be a temple in Jerusalem, and it will have been rebuilt, the temple itself will be, and the sacrificial system of Moses will have been reinstituted, and then it will be stopped by force in the middle of the tribulation period. The third thing that this verse tells us is the result of the breaking of this covenant by the Antichrist, or the Gentile leader, that when this is broken, then there's going to come the abomination of the temple, or the desecration. The abomination spoken of refers to an image or an idol being in the temple. Now, in history, back in the years when Antiochus Epiphanes was the ruler of Syria, and he came down into Israel because the land was under his authority, in the days of Antiochus Epiphanes, it's going to be exactly like that in the future, when a Gentile ruler, the Antichrist, will abominate the temple by means of idolatry. The fourth thing that we learn in verse 27 is the abomination is to be followed by wrath and by desolation, persecution, and warfare. And that will continue for the remaining half of the 70th seven, or for the final 3.5 years. Now, this is similar to the trials and the tribulations the rabbis spoke of as preparation for the establishment of the Messianic kingdom. These terrible days, the last 3.5 years particularly, were referred to as the footsteps of the Messiah and also as the birth pangs of the Messiah. Now, once those days have run their course, the last three things predicted back in verse 24 will occur. The age of righteousness will be brought in. The most holy place will again be anointed, and every vision and prophecy will be fulfilled. Because at the end of the tribulation, when Messiah returns the second time, at this point the Messianic kingdom, for which the prophet Daniel yearned, is going to finally be set up. Now, obviously, the Messianic kingdom requires the Messiah to rule as the king. This means that the Messiah will come after the 70th seven. Earlier, Daniel stated that the Messiah would come and be killed after the 69th seven. This would appear to be a contradiction unless Daniel was speaking of two comings of the Messiah. The first time was after the 69th seven, when Messiah would die a penal substitutionary death for the sins of Israel and accomplish the first three of the six purposes outlined in verse 24. But the second time, which is still future at this broadcast, was to be after the 70th seven, when he will establish the Messianic kingdom and accomplish the last three things of the six in verse 24. There is also an important implication in verse 27 that should not be missed. The Messiah would be killed after his first coming, yet he would be alive at his second coming. And this implication is that the Messiah would then be resurrected from the dead after he was killed at his first coming. Now, this very dramatic prophecy that we have looked at in Daniel 9's features some things that are very clear, and they are expressed in unmistakable terms. First, the Messiah was to be on earth 483 years after the decree to rebuild Jerusalem. Second, we're told in Daniel 9 that after his appearance on the earth, Messiah was to be killed, but not for his own sins, but rather for those of others. And the death the Messiah would die was to be the death of the penalty of the law. Thirdly, this passage teaches that the death of the Messiah had to come sometime before Jerusalem and the temple were destroyed again, like they were in the Babylonian destruction. Now, this occurred, this destruction, in the year 70 AD. The fourth major point in this passage is that sometime after the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple, and following a long period of warfare, the 70th seven would then begin. Once that 70th seven has run its course, Messiah's kingdom and the age of righteousness will be established. For that to occur, the implication is that the Messiah who was killed would have to return again. But who is this Messiah? Only one man fulfills all that is required in this passage in Daniel 9, and that one man is Jesus of Nazareth. He was born into the Jewish world and proclaimed his messiahship 483 years after the decree to rebuild and restore Jerusalem was issued. In the year 30 AD, Jesus of Nazareth was executed by crucifixion. Now, Daniel indicated that he would be cut off, but not for himself, but rather for others. Isaiah 53 also prophesied the death of the Messiah, pointing out that he would die a substitutionary death on behalf of his people Israel. The teaching then of the New Testament is that Jesus died a penal death by taking upon himself the penalty of the law as a substitute for his people. In keeping with Daniel chapter 9, verse 24, he died for the purpose of making an atonement for sins. 3 days after his death, Jesus was resurrected. And finally, the New Testament proclaims the fact that he will someday return to set up his kingdom and to establish the age of righteousness. Now, if Daniel was right, then Messiah had to come and die prior to the year 70 AD. If Daniel was right, then there are no other options for who the Messiah is. It has to be Jesus of Nazareth. Many people don't know, but Jesus was the first Jew in Jewish history to ever claim to be the Messiah. There have been many since him who have made the claim but were false messiahs, but he was the first, and he was in fact the true Messiah. If Daniel was right, this Jesus is destined to return and to set up the Messianic kingdom at his second coming after the 70th seven. So when it comes to the Messianic time period, we have this, that from the issuing of a decree to rebuild Jerusalem, there would be 7 sevens of 49 years before Jerusalem would be rebuilt. That actually happened under Nehemiah and Ezra and Zerubbabel. Then once Jerusalem was rebuilt, there would be 62 sevens, or 434 years, until the Messiah appeared. And 434 years after the first 7 sevens, Jesus of Nazareth did appear. Then there would be this intervention when there would be this long period before the signing of the covenant, which would begin the 70th seven, or the 7 years of the tribulation, and that is still waiting for fulfillment. Well, I'm out of time, so I'll have to see you in our next broadcast.
Thank you, Tom. Isn't this a great series? You can get copies of this series by calling us at Truth Seekers Fellowship. The number is 901-685-3385. Outside Memphis, call toll-free 866-685-3385. You can also reach us at our new website. The address is www.milktomeat.org. While there, you can sign up for a free newsletter, hear the radio programs, and correspond with us through email. Again, the address is www.milktomeat.org. Now make plans to join us tomorrow right here for The Lay Disciple.